fissioned, dividing into two, and then began to unite again, to reassemble. Endosymbiosis, Deirdre murmured. She stared at the screen, fascinated, as the hundreds of separate units slowly linked together into two complete leviathans, and finally swam off side by side into the murky distance. The screen went blank.
That was a lucky one,
Archer said, sitting up straighter in his chair.
No sharks found them.
That's how they reproduce, Deirdre said. But how do they accomplish it? Archer asked, staring intently at the empty screen.
How do they know when to dissociate? How do the separate units know how to get together to form a new animal? Do both of the new ones share the knowledge, the memories of the original?
She shook her head. I still don't see how studying Volvox could help you. They're so different. With a smile that was almost shy, Archer admitted,
Well, now we come to my ulterior motive for picking you.
Your ulterior motive? Deirdre asked.
You have something of a reputation in Chrysalis, too, as a visual artist.
She felt her jaw drop. Visual artist? You mean those little murals I've painted?
And the digital imagery you've created, Archer said. I've seen those, too. You're quite good.
Confused, Deirdre asked, You want me to decorate the station?
No, no.
Archer laughed. Hunching closer to her, he said, You see, the Leviathans apparently communicate in visual imagery. I thought a woman with your talents for visual imagery might be helpful to us. With that, Archer picked up the remote control again. The wall screens on both sides of the office suddenly were filled with images of the Leviathans flashing colors at one another. Cool green, bright yellow, intense red. It was like being in the dolphin tank again, Deirdre thought. They were surrounded by the immense Leviathans, swimming placidly in Jupiter's ocean, flashing colored lights back and forth.
That's how they communicate,
she heard herself ask as she stared at the screens. Archer said,
It seems obvious. They're not simply making displays. They're communicating, intelligent communications. The way we use speech, they use visual imagery.
And you want me to study their imagery and see if I can make any sense out of it, she said, her eyes still fastened on the screens.
That would be a good beginning, Archer said. We've recorded hundreds of hours worth of their imagery.
Deirdre murmured, You know that I've been working with Dr. Corvus and the dolphins. He wants to use DBS equipment to make contact with the Leviathans.
I didn't realize you were working with him, Archer admitted.
With a slight shrug, he added,
Well, that's another avenue of approach to the problem.
Deirdre saw the burning eagerness on his bearded face. He wants to understand those gigantic creatures, she recognized. He's dying to know, she thought. And he's willing to risk lives to find out. He's willing to send people down into that alien ocean to find out, no matter how dangerous it is. Dinner. Deirdre hesitated, then plunged. I don't know if I can do that for you, Dr. Archer. With a visible effort, the station director blanked the wall screens and turned to Deirdre. Smiling gently, he said,
Well, you think about it, Ms. Ambrose. It's very important to us, to our understanding of these alien creatures, to our ability to make meaningful contact with an intelligent extraterrestrial species.
You think they're intelligent? I'm certain of it.
Deirdre's mind was spinning. Intelligent. Communicate through visual images. He wants me to go down into the ocean.
And don't forget about little Volvox,
Archer added less intently.
Any ideas or information will be welcome. We're pretty desperate for new ideas.
I'll try, she said, pulling herself to her feet.
Archer stood up, too. As he walked to the door with her, he said, I'm giving a little dinner this evening for the new arrivals. 1900 hours in Conference Room C. I hope you haven't already made other arrangements.
Knowing that an invitation from the station director, even a casual one, was more like a command, Deirdre replied, I'd be happy to come.
Good, he said, as he slid open the door to the passageway. 1900. Mrs. Westfall will be joining us, too.
When Deirdre got back to her own compartment, there was a message from Andy Corvis waiting.
Hi there, Dee,
he said, his slightly mismatched face grinning boyishly from the wall screen.
We're all invited to dinner with the station director tonight. Can I pick you up around 1845?
She returned his call immediately. Andy wasn't in his quarters, so she left a message. Precisely at 1845, she heard a rap on her door. Still wearing the flowered dress, she slid the door back and saw that Andy was accompanied by Jaeger and Dorn. Jaeger had obviously shaved. He smelled of cologne.
The Three Musketeers, she said, smiling brightly at them.
Jaeger elbowed Corvis aside and offered his arm to her.
Then you must be the Queen of France, he said grandly.
She politely stepped past Jaeger and slipped her arm around Corvus's.
Andy asked me first, she said sweetly to Jaeger.
Yeah, he grumbled, but I'm better looking.
Dorn said, and more modest, too. They all laughed, linked arms, and strode along the passageway toward Conference Room C. It was a small room, almost intimate, its oblong central table set for eight. Grant Archer was already standing at the side table set up on the far end of the room, with an array of bottles and glasses and a large silvery bucket of ice.
The newbies, Archer called out to them. Welcome.
He introduced the buxom, dark-haired woman beside him as his wife, Marjorie. Deirdre quickly learned that she was a biochemist.
Are you working on the Leviathans?
Deirdre asked as she poured herself a glass of fruit juice. Marjorie smiled tolerantly.
We're all working on the Leviathans, whether we want to or not.
Deirdre felt her brows go up. But before she could think of anything to say, the double doors slid open and Catherine Westfall swept in, accompanied by a beefy-looking young man in a sky-blue blazer and tight slacks.
A boy toy,
Deirdre said to herself. He was good-looking, in a muscular bodyguard way.
At least he's not that zombie I met earlier, Deirdre thought.
Archer went the length of the room to welcome Mrs. Westfall and her escort, then introduced them to each of the others. The boy toy claimed to be an accountant. He looked more like a security guard to Deirdre. Westfall gave no hint that she'd already met Deirdre.
We don't normally serve alcoholic drinks here, Archer said, once he had led Mrs. Westfall to the makeshift bar. But in honor of your presence, we figured out how to make a dry martini.
He poured a clear liquid into a stemmed, wide-brimmed glass and handed it to her.
I hope it meets with your approval.
I'm sure it will, Westfall said, the corners of her lips curving ever so slightly. She sipped, then pronounced, Perfect. How did you ever do it?
Archer.